This morning, in our message, we're going to go back to our series on faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I'm going to be in Judges chapter 4 before you turn to Hebrews 11. I'll be primarily in Judges 4. But in Hebrews chapter 11 is where I want to just read the verse that takes us back to Judges, that points us back there. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. This year, we're going through this chapter and noticing all the examples of faith. And we get down to verse 32, and it gives us a list of names, a list of men. And it says there, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And we're given this list of names of men who have been signified or listed as men who lived by faith, or at least accomplished something by faith, their faith in God and their trust in His Word. Now, the beginning of this, he says there, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me." You know, he didn't have time to elaborate on all these men. I imagine he trusted that the Hebrews understood who he was talking about and probably may have even known the details of the accounts listed in the Old Testament. But this morning, we do have the time. Now, I'm not going to go through all these this morning, but over the next few weeks, we will look at each one of these simply because we have the time to focus on them, and also because some may not be real familiar with their account in the Old Testament. So we will look back at the account of each one of these, and we'll see their life of faith. Now, one thing to notice, all of these men were leaders in Israel. Five were judges and one was a king. All of them were leaders. All of them were called by God for a purpose. And that was to overcome or to have a victory over the enemy. That's what's interesting about this group right here. They all had great victories over the enemy. All of them trusted the Lord. All of them went by faith. And they were each blessed because of it. Now, they all present a different aspect of faith, and that's what I want you to notice over the next few weeks, this different aspect of each one of them concerning their victory over the enemy. Now, today, many of us, of course, are not facing literal armies, but you know, we do have troubles and trials and problems that need to be overcome. And I hope and pray that we'll see that it's possible by faith to overcome our hardships, our trials, and our difficulties. And today, we're going to look at a man who I believe found faith through submission. He submitted to God by faith, and God blessed. Turn with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 4, if you want to go back to Judges chapter 4, and we're going to read the account there of this man that submitted to God by faith and was blessed. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." They kept going back and forth. God would bless them, they do evil. God would bless them, they do evil. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessings you provided. As we look at this passage and we look at this account of faith, I pray that you'll open up your word to us. Help us, to focus on your word for the next few minutes. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll lead and guide and direct in this message. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and I pray that you'll just provide the spiritual need that each one of us may have here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about submission. Now that word submit means to yield to the power or the authority of another, is what it means. Basically, submission is foreign in our society. Nobody likes to submit anymore. I think maybe it's our human nature. You know, we recoil at having to submit to anybody. Perhaps it's because we're Americans. You know, we're independent. You know, we take care of ourselves, get a job, fend for ourselves, stand on our own 2 feet, and those are good. There's nothing wrong with those things. But today we're going to see that if we're going to have faith in God, we're going to have to submit to Him and yield to His direction, yield to His power, yield to His authority. And I'm going to give you 3 thoughts on this passage. We're just going to look at this real quickly this morning. 3 thoughts concerning Barak's submission to God. First, notice that he submitted himself to God's prophetess. And yes, I said that correctly. Not God's prophet, God's prophetess. He submitted himself to the leadership that God had placed in the nation of Israel. Now that's the first thing we find that's interesting in this passage. The Lord used a woman in a position of leadership in the nation of Israel. You know, some find that to be surprising. Some skip right over that and continue on. But the Bible tells us that's what occurred. She was a prophetess. The Lord spoke through her, is what the Bible tells us, as far as His decisions, His judgments, and making decisions to lead the nation. Now, here's some conclusions, I think, that we can draw concerning this woman. Now, our subject is not her this morning, but we need to understand the situation. First, she obviously loved the Lord. She had to have, to be serving the Lord in that position. She had to have a love for the Lord. I tell you what, it's a blessing to see people love God. I'm thankful for you here this morning. You're here because I believe you love the Lord. You want to not only be challenged from the Bible this morning and get some things to think on, but also to have fellowship with one another. It's a blessing to see people that love the Lord. Secondly, she was obviously obedient to the Lord. She was put in a position of leadership, and God was working through her to bless the nation. So she was obviously obedient to God's direction. Thirdly, she was an instrument of the Lord. God worked through her. I think that's something we probably all desire to be, an instrument of the Lord. We want God to work through us. If we're saved here this morning, you want God to work through you to bless your family. Maybe you want God to work through you to bless your coworkers or to be an encouragement to others. But we want God to work through us and to bless others. Or that should be our desire. Now, I want to mention something right up front. There is no contradiction to Scripture in this passage. You see, the Lord did not limit the office of prophet to men. He didn't. We don't find that in the Scriptures. He did that with the pastorate. We find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, but He didn't do it to prophets. Now, where the Lord has not placed limitations, let's be careful of doing so. You see, this morning, if God has not limited a position or an office, then God can work in any way He chooses. Now, the Bible tells us that Deborah judged Israel. She was wise. And she obviously was able to make proper decisions concerning serious matters. God blessed her with wisdom and the ability to lead the nation. Second, we find something interesting concerning Barak. Here's what I want you to notice. The Bible says that he obeyed the summons. Let's go back. It says there in verse 4, Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And it goes down to verse 6, and it says, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded? What I want to draw your attention to right now is the fact that he obeyed this summons. He came when he was called for. Simple, yes, but very important. Parents know how important this is. It's nice to have children obey. Doesn't mean they always will, but it's nice to have children obey. You see, prompt obedience is appreciated when it is found. Parents enjoy it. Employees enjoy it, I imagine, as well. To have someone who will do the job that they ask and do it correctly and do it immediately. You know, even the Lord is pleased with obedience. I'm going to read a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 15. This concerns Saul when he was king of Israel. A man who struggled with obedience, really. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 22. And this is Samuel talking to Saul, after Saul had disobeyed the Lord and did his own thing and pretty much, I guess you say, ran ahead of the Lord's plan. But it's 1 Samuel chapter 15 and in verse 22, it says there, I think I had the right place. Oh, I'm over in 2 Samuel. Please forgive me. I'm in the wrong book here. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'll get over there. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You see, Saul learned a difficult lesson. It was a tough lesson. He had disobeyed God. He was going to reap what he had sown. And Samuel here reminded him that obedience was better than sacrifice. It was better for him to hearken unto the Lord than to go out and perform some great deed that he thought would please God. You see, this morning, I think God wants our obedience. You see, God can work through us. He can produce great results. He can produce great works. What he wants is an obedient heart, an obedient life that's willing to say, your will, God, not mine. And that's what we find here with this man, Barak. He was obedient. When she summons him, the Bible says he went. And then we find that he heard the message and obviously respected the messenger. Some struggle with this. Now, I want to mention it again because some do struggle with this. Some would say, well, would the Lord really use a woman to direct a man in this fashion? Well, he did. So the Bible tells us. It's clear as day that that was God's direction. You know, the Lord has blessed many homes where the men have fled or neglected their responsibilities, and the woman remained faithful. Faithfully prayed unto God. Faithfully raised her children. Faithfully went to church. Faithfully served the Lord. The Lord has blessed many homes because of a faithful woman. Also, I think churches have been blessed. You know, there have been many churches where men have not taken their responsibility seriously or have not chosen to serve the Lord, but you have women there loving God, serving God, praying unto the Lord, and the Lord has blessed many churches because women have remained faithful unto Him. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that God is no respecter of persons. He can work through whomever He chooses to work through. He can bless not only individuals, but He can bless through anyone He chooses to bless through. Now, to Barak's credit, I'm going to say this. It appears he had no problem with this. It appears to him it was no big deal. He was following the leadership that God had put in place. Now, some struggle with submission. That's our subject this morning, submission found or leading to faith. And some struggle with submission. You know, there are some men who won't follow a woman. Plain and simple. Now, I do believe the Lord has put some leadership positions in place as far as the family and the church. But I don't believe that carries over into civil society or into business. And some men struggle with this. You know, others refuse to follow a person of a different race. I have ran into people like that. And that's the case, and that's sad. Some will also refuse to follow a younger individual. They'll look at someone and say, they're younger than me. We don't need to follow him. They don't know what they're talking about. Some just struggle with authority in general. They just don't want to follow anybody. That's the problem. I want to remind you of something this morning before we move on to our next point. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the authority of God the Father and followed God the Father completely. You see, Jesus Christ is our example of how we're to live life. And he lived a life of submission, submitting to God the Father. I'll read you just one verse in John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30 is what we're going to look at. And the Bible says there, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Notice, and this is just one verse. You'll find it throughout this book. But Jesus submitted himself to the will of God the Father. You know, our Lord and Savior did all according to God's will. He didn't do anything according to his own power. Now, he's God. He could have. But he did this as an example for us to learn from and to follow. This morning, I want to encourage you to submit to the will of God in your life. To submit to God's direction for your life. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. When you find teachings in there, submit to those teachings. Follow after what God has put before you. And follow the leadership that God has put in place. And I believe the Lord will bless you. Now, let's go back to this next point because they run together. We're going to see that he had submission to God's precepts. In other words, God's word, God's command. Not only did he submit to the leadership there, had no problem, but next we see that he submitted to God's precepts. It says there, we go back to Judges chapter 4, and it says there in verse 6, she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor. Take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. See, that's the message he was given. That's the word from God through this woman that was delivered to Barak. Now, Barak was given God's word. Now, this point picks up right where the last one left off. And I want to draw your attention to that, because he didn't place his faith in Deborah or Deborah's opinions or Deborah's good ideas. His faith was placed in the Lord's word, the Lord's direction, the Lord's command. You see, he followed the leadership based upon God's word. Now, this morning, that's important for us today, too. I believe that God has placed leadership positions within a church, but that's not for them to rule after their own desires and for them to run roughshod over the people. They're there to follow after God and to lead the people after God's word. You see, this morning, I believe it's important to follow God's word. I believe pastors should not be pointing to themselves, but should be pointing to God, saying, thus saith the Lord, here's God's direction, this is what we should follow. You see, Barak didn't follow her opinions. He followed Deborah's word that was given to her from God. And that's important to notice. God's word is what we should follow. Now, let's look at this message real quick. First, there was some specific direction. You know, our God is not a vague God. He doesn't just say, well, go out there and see what happens. I'm thankful for that. Salvation is clear as day. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe, you shall be saved. Trust in Christ. Here, he was given specific direction. He was to take 10,000 men to Mount Tabor. And there the Lord would deliver Sisera. He was a captain there of that army. He would deliver him into Barak's hands. And Barak would defeat the enemy there near the Kishon River, the Bible tells us, and he would be victorious. Now, that sounds simple, doesn't it? You ever received commands or something that you look and say, that's not so bad? And you begin to look into it a little bit and you say, well, there's a lot more there than I thought. I'm going to give you some thoughts on this. It may have sounded simple, but after some further investigation, this was quite a task. First, the men that he was to take were not a standing army. It wasn't like Israel had this large standing army. They were ready to defend themselves. They had been oppressed for, the Bible tells us, 20 years here. They had cried unto the Lord for help. So they couldn't throw this enemy off by themselves. Had they been able to do that, they probably already would have. So he didn't have this great army sitting there waiting for him to lead. He had a bunch of men, 10,000 men, may have been, I guess you say, untrained, maybe underprepared, maybe even unqualified, or maybe didn't even have the skills, but those were the men that God had for him. He had 10,000 men. Secondly, the army he was facing was large. They were prepared, and they were ready for battle. So he's got a group of 10,000 men to go against this group. The Bible makes it clear they had 900 chariots of iron. I mean, they had the weapons of war too, not just the men, but they were ready to fight. And he had to go in against this experienced army who had been oppressing them for many years and to pull out a victory. Third, the terrain itself was rugged. He had to go to this mountain, and he had to be exactly where God wanted him to be. You know, I think that there were enough obstacles to cause some concern. I believe there were some enough, I guess you say, problems for him to look and say, you know, this is a pretty big task, Lord, that you have me to do. You see, the message contained a commission. In other words, this was an order for him. It wasn't an option. That's what Deborah is challenging him. He says, hath not the Lord said, take these men and go? You're the man that God's going to work through. You're the one that God wants to live by faith and that God is going to bless. You see, he was to act upon the Lord's command. You know, I think any disobedience would have been rebellious for this man, for Barak. If he would have disobeyed, that would have been the sign of a rebel. He was to live by faith and follow the Lord. Also, he could go with confidence, though, because God had commanded him. You know, anytime God gives us a command, we can act with confidence. because God has commanded us. I think of the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28. What's that commission? You go into all the world and take the gospel. See, that's a command that we've been given, and we can take that with confidence, knowing that God has commanded us to take the gospel to the lost. And we can do that with confidence. You know, I also want to point out that this message to Barak contained a promise. A promise. You know, the Lord promised to deliver him from the enemy. It was a guarantee from God. If he would go, if he would remain faithful, that God would bless his effort. All he had to do was go. The Lord would take care of the rest. But he had to go. That was important. He had to go. And God would take care of the rest. You know, it required an act of faith. You think about this. He had to go by faith. He didn't have the victory right then and there. He had to trust that God would give him the victory. He had to go by faith, but he had something to put his faith in. You know, this morning, there are some who believe that Christians just have blind faith. I don't believe that's true. If you have true faith this morning, you don't have blind faith. You're putting your faith in God's Word. No different than trusting someone else's Word. Only you're putting your faith in God's Word. And that's what Barak was called upon to do, to put his faith in what God had promised, God's Word, to trust that the Lord would come through with what he said he would do. And that's what he had. Now you think about salvation this morning. Salvation, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is by grace and through faith. Not of works. It's clear as day, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've said this often, and I'll probably continue to say it. There will be no boasting in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're not going to run around and say, I got here because I did this. I got here because I did that. I got here because I'm this good. I got here because I was this faithful. And the list go on and on and on and on. There will be no boasting in heaven. We'll all be there because we're sinners saved by God's grace, not by our works. You see, when we get to heaven, we'll all be there because of Jesus Christ. And if we boast at all, it'll be on our Lord and Savior, our God, who has given us salvation. You know, this morning, you think about that. Salvation is taking God at His Word. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, that verse, I believe, is still true today. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if you believe on Him, you're putting your faith in His Word. Right there. Now, there are plenty of other verses that talk about this. But John 3:16, if you trust in Christ as your Savior, you're putting your faith in His Word, that He will save you because you trusted in Him. And the Bible tells us, whosoever. You know, that doesn't mean anyone of a certain age or a certain race or a certain class of people. Whosoever. Salvation is opened up to anyone who will come to God seeking His forgiveness and seeking His salvation. I hope and pray you're saved here this morning. Hope and pray you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If not, that can be taken care of. Trust in Christ today and you will be saved. You think about this morning. I believe with Barak, as far as his life, he was given God's Word that he could hold on to. And after we're saved, we also have God's Word that we can hold on to. How about temptation and sin? You know, we all live with that. There's nobody above temptation. There's none of us who go through each day and can say, well, I'm never tempted. We're all tempted. And sin is out there. And if we're not careful, we can stumble into sin. You know, for the most part, now I'm not saying everybody believes this, obviously, but for the most part, I think the world has resigned itself to accepting sin. I really do. You see that in our world today. They've just resigned themselves to saying, well, maybe it's not so bad. And they've accepted it and basically believe that it cannot be overcome. And since we cannot overcome it, we might as well accept it. And it's probably all right. Maybe just keep it in check. You know, just don't do it too bad. Don't do it out in public. Don't embarrass yourself. But it's not so bad. You know, this is attempted through counseling, programs of all sorts, books, list goes on and on and on. And I'm not belittling any of those so much as the method of some of them. But I'm going to tell you what, you think about this. No wonder we live in an age of depression. You know, people are depressed today. You find that in studies all over the place. People are depressed. But no wonder. They see sin all around them and basically are under the impression that nothing can be done. Just give in. I can't do anything about it. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't tell us that at all. Actually, the Bible says that we can overcome with God's power. Through His Word, we can overcome temptation. We can overcome sin. You know, once again, I want to remind you of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our great example. I know we're talking about Barak this morning, but talking about submission. Think of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to turn there, but Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, gives us the account of Jesus being taken out, or He went out to the desert there, and He was tempted three times by the devil. Now, the devil's wily. The devil is not only wily, he's intelligent. Obviously, he's not all-knowing. He's not God. He's below God. But I tell you, he's sneaky. He's powerful. He's conniving. Any other adjectives you want to put in there, that's him. And he took Jesus out there. He tempted him three times. On each occasion, you know what you find in the Bible? Jesus countered the devil with God's word. Each time. He countered with God's word. This morning, if you struggle with a sin, maybe there's a certain sin you struggle with. That's between you and God. But if there's a sin that you struggle with, find the passages. Study the Bible. Find the passages that deal with that sin in any way at all. Read them. Study them. Memorize them, if need be. And when you're tempted, remember what God has said in His Word, and then make the choice to follow Him instead of following the flesh. You see, that's how God, in His Word, provides us power to overcome sin. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, often what happens, temptation comes upon us. We forget God's word, neglect God's word, or just set it aside for a moment. Go into that sin, stumble, and make a great mistake. Instead, cling to God's word. How many of you have a map? Actually, how many of you have a GPS? You plug in your coordinates nowadays and take it where you want to go. But you realize there's some guidelines there if you want to get to a certain place. You can't just go and turn wherever you want to go. You hold on to that GPS. You may hold on to that map. And it guides you and directs you. The Word of God is like that. Only it provides guidelines for our conduct. How we're to live before God. How we're to act with others. And how we're to live in this world. You know, we go back to Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, this morning, the Bible is, if you take it, you read it, you apply it, it will be a light unto your path in this world to show you how to live for God. And so we find that our Lord and Savior Himself, as an example, provided, the example of how to overcome sin, and that's through the Word of God. So let's, like Barak, let's submit to the Lord's precepts. Let's submit our life to God's Word. Here's my third and final thought this morning, and that is his submission to God's plan. The future was uncertain. Not to the Lord, but to Barak. It was uncertain to him. He was told God's promise. He was told that God would bless him. But he had to actually go. It wasn't complete as far as seeing it happen yet. It was an act of faith. And the Bible tells us, I believe he hesitated a little bit. You know, we go back to Judges chapter 4. Judges 4, and notice what he says there in verse 8. "And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me," he says, "then I will not go." So he looks at Deborah after she gives him this command. He looks at her and says, "Okay, if you come with me, I'm going. If not, I'm staying here. I'm not going to go." Now, the promise was great. I'm going to give you some thoughts on this. Some believe he didn't hesitate. I do. I believe he hesitated a little bit. The promise was great. However, there were some obstacles in the way. There were some difficulties that had to be overcome. You think about that today as far as our life. We're promised eternal life. But until we go into heaven, we got some obstacles to overcome. How about health? We got health issues sometimes that we got to get through. We got trials and we got temptations. All sorts of things that can be put in our life that we have to overcome or that we're able to overcome with God's power. So the promise was great, but he had these obstacles. You know, that's when doubt will often creep in, when you begin to look at the obstacles. I think of Peter when he walked on water. Everything was fine until he noticed the storm.
I believe he actually realized what he was doing, and then the Bible says he began to sink. And Jesus Christ, of course, rescued him. But you see, when we begin to look at the obstacles and the problems, then doubt will begin to creep in. Yes, we can know what God has said, but we can become unsure of how we're to live. Or even if that can be performed, we can doubt. You see, Barak hesitated. He staggered a little bit. He just was unsure of going forward. I can see this man thinking. I can see him get the message from God, and he begins to think it through. And he probably says, you know, it sounds good. But I tell you what, Sisera's got a lot of men out there. That's quite a battle that's going to take place. And so as he's beginning to think it through, maybe he says, no, I'm not going to go without Deborah. I'm not going to go, and if you won't go, I'm staying home too. You know, what we find in the scriptures is a lot of these men had passions like us. They doubted. They were unsure at times. They were uncertain. Maybe he thought the Lord would send him a new message, that, hey, a different plan. Maybe I need to wait a little bit. You know, Bible tells us that Deborah looked at him and said, yes, I'll go. But since his faith staggered, notice what else she said. The Bible says there, we go back to Judges chapter 4, and she said, verse 9, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Notice here, she said, I'm going to go. I'll go. But guess what? The honor of the battle will not go to you. It'll go to a woman. Now, some believe that she was referring to herself, which could be the case because she went. Some believe she was referring to a woman by the name of Jael, who later in this chapter actually slew Sisera and received the credit for it. Either way, it is evident to me that Barak would not receive as much as he could have. Now think about that for a minute. We don't like to think on that, but that's true. He was not going to receive the honor. Now, had he said, let's go. And had he went with his men, who knows? Maybe he'd have been like Gideon, received the honor and came back victorious. Now, he came back victorious, but he didn't receive the honor for it, the Bible tells us. I wonder how much we miss out on by refusing to live by faith. How many prayers remain unanswered because we don't live by faith? How many desires that aren't bad desires, they're good desires, how many desires remain unfulfilled because we don't live by faith? How many goals are never reached because we don't go by faith? How many blessings are never known because we are afraid to live by faith? You see, if we lack faith and we doubt God's word, and we refuse to go forward, whether it's in our prayer life, whether it's in our witness, whether it's in studying the Bible, whether it's in service in the church, then we will miss out on the blessings that God might have for us. Now, I don't know all the blessings He has for you, but I don't know about you, but I want to find out which ones He has for me. By faith, going forward and seeing what God will do, how God will bless. You know, the future belonged to the Lord. Barak was unsure of it, but God was sure of what was going to happen. You see, the Lord blessed him. He did gain the victory. You read the rest of this chapter. He helped pull the people out of servitude. And by faith, he secured a great victory over Sisera and his army. And by faith, you know what? He came back and he did give God the glory. I think that's another reason why he's mentioned in Hebrews 11. Because when he returned, he didn't accept it. He gave God the glory. He gave God praise for what had taken place. And he followed the Lord's plan by faith. It was not what he probably chose to do. It was not what he would have planned, but it was God's plan. You know, faith requires submission to the Lord's direction. When that occurs, then I believe the Lord will bless our life and he will work in our life. But we need to submit to God and say, your will, not mine. You know, I want to remind you on this point as well of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You do realize he carried out God the Father's plan. He carried it out completely from birth till death. Everything was done according to God the Father's plan. You know what's interesting is Jesus Christ, you read his life in the Gospels, he didn't stray from God's plan. He was attacked, of course, at the end of his ministry, he was brutally attacked physically. But he never strayed from God the Father's plan. You know what the plan was? The plan was not only for him to teach and to preach and, of course, establish his church and call the apostles,
But I believe the big picture of the plan was for him to provide atonement for mankind, to provide salvation for sinners. You see, dying on the cross and rising out of that grave after 3 days, he fulfilled God's plan to redeem mankind, is what he did. You see, Jesus Christ submitted himself to the plan that God the Father had. And because of that submission, this morning we can be saved. Because of that submission, if you're here this morning, you're saved, you can praise God. Because Jesus Christ followed the plan that God the Father had in place. If you're not saved, you can be saved because of Jesus Christ. Let's submit to the Lord's plan. Let's follow not only the example of Barak in our passage, but let's follow the example of Jesus Christ and submit to the Lord's plan. Of course, his plan of salvation. You know, I mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again real quick. You know, John 14:6, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the way. He's not a way. He is the way. And if you're going to come to God the Father, you got to go through Jesus Christ. You have to repent of him. You have to trust in him as your Savior. And if you do that, you'll be accepted. It's a free gift. All you need to do is accept it. Also, as far as his plan for our life, his purpose. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You belong to him. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Follow. Be content with what he allows, or maybe what he doesn't allow in your life. Be content with the direction that the Lord has. You know, in closing this morning, you think about Barak. He did nothing, really, of his own power and strength. He was summoned. He was given the message. After he struggled a bit, he followed. You see, he did nothing to boast about. He simply yielded to the Lord and was blessed. You know, I guess you could say it's just that simple when it comes down to it. Faith found in submission. Just yielding to God. God, your will, not mine. When we do that, then I believe not only will we live by faith, but God will bless our life and lead our life. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for this passage concerning Barak and Deborah. Lord, I pray that you'll just continue to bless us as we can think about this message later today and this week. And Lord, as we have this time of invitation, if there's anyone here who have you worked on their heart in any way, I pray that they will get things settled with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart, this is just a time where you can seek him in prayer. If you want to come to these altars, you can come down to these altars and pray. Or if you want to pray right where you are, I encourage you to do so. Maybe there's one here who is unsure of their salvation and you have questions. If that's the case, I encourage you to come down here this morning. We can take the Bible, or someone can take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved.